Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Welcome to the Songwriter Connection, the podcast that delves deep into the art and heart of songwriting. Each week, we gather around the dining room table to uncover the stories behind the songs. We invite you to join us on a journey to the creative minds of the songwriters who shape the melodies of our lives. From Nashville, Tennessee, here's your host, Dave Lenihan.
Well, Nashville, they say, is a 10-year town. Our guest today has been here for 6 months. But you know what? The story goes back, and he's had a lot of success. He's up and coming. He's a good friend of mine. Is Michael Saletta, who has been on the show before. And Mike, but last time it was Zoom, and you were in Melbourne, Australia.
Yeah, I was actually in Sale, Victoria, Australia, which is, I was at my dad's house.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. Which was, you know, it's 3 hours east of Melbourne. So,
and that's kind of where you, is that where you grew up?
That's where I grew up. Yeah. Right. Yeah. It was kind of a, you know, going back and staying with my dad after Sarah had moved to Nashville. It was great to have connected with him and going back home for a little while.
A little bit.
So that, yeah, that was pretty cool to spend Absolutely. That time with him.
Absolutely. You know, your story, we say 6 months here, but your story goes way beyond that. You've been a member of NSAI for quite some time.
Yeah. My PRO, Mark Moffat from APRA, recommended that I join. You know, he's based here in Nashville, and he recommended I join NSAI back in 2018. So,
if you don't know NSAI, Nashville Songwriters Association International, a fantastic group organization that really helped. It's done a lot for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, they've been a super champion, and I think, you know, because they've seen that I've worked really hard and they've supported that, and and you know, it's not that thing that I've gone and said, hey, what can you do for me? Right. You know, I was like, what can I do for myself to help myself, and how can you help me along the way, kind of thing. And
you've done some cool things for them. Like, you're one of the most organized songwriters I know, and you did a little some blurbs for them, right? Video
I did some video content not long ago when I got back, just about being an organized songwriter, because, you know, I use spreadsheets and everything and keep my songs all with links and, you know, keep track of all that. Just, I don't know, it's just good to be organized.
And, you know, when you write hundreds of songs, you know, it's easy to get some of them lost, you know, and...
Absolutely, I've certainly forgotten about songs and then... And look through that spreadsheet and go, oh, I wonder what that sounds like. And then it's like, okay, oh, that's that lyric. And then I'll go into my phone and listen to like a work tape or a rough or something. It's like,
yeah,
hey, that was pretty cool. But you know, I guess you've got to keep on, you know, you wake up every day and you a new song kind of happens, you know, when you're in the room. So
yeah, it does. Yeah. You know, you've got a lot of accolades from NSAI. Let's just talk about a few of them. You've really got to think about it because you've done so much. You've had great success with some of their song contests and things.
Yeah, lots of ones to watch.
Ones to watch, as they say, yeah.
Yeah, and they used to do a thing called Play for Publisher. Luncheon thing, you know, a bunch of songs that were taken for that.
Always an honor if you're taken.
So it's just like, okay, well, we think your song is good enough to be able to, you know, showcase to publishers. Member of the Year back in 2020.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, we spoke about that last time, which is really cool. You know, I've still got that medallion, which is quite special. And I think that was just an acknowledgement of how hard I work.
Sure. A little validation for what you do, huh?
Yeah. And just my participation within NSAI, you know, just being a super active member.
Yeah.
In 2021, I had 2 songs in the top 10 song contest, Ho Ho Hold My Beer.
That's a cool song.
A fun song for Christmas. And Now I Do, which Andrew Mack ended up cutting.
Love that guy.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
They have a thing called the Bob Kinsley Top 40 now.
Yeah.
He used to be a radio personality.
He did the countdown for years.
Radio. So they do a top 40 every quarter. So I've had a bunch of songs, you know, that I've co-written that have been on that. I think there's been about 6 or 8 songs that have been on that.
Mm-hmm.
Gee, what else?
This is just the NSAI stuff, folks.
Yeah.
Folks, let me tell you. He's also had number ones in Australia.
Yeah, it's the last one was in January of this year, and that was number one for 5 weeks on Australian Airplay, Country Airplay chart.
That's awesome.
And it lasted in that chart for 17 weeks.
That's amazing.
Which is really, really cool.
And the artist?
That was my fifth number one, and that was Craig Lloyd.
Craig Lloyd. Okay. Aussie or?
Yeah, he's actually originally from the UK, but he immigrated to Australia and met his wife there. And he's kind of doing the country thing a little bit part-time as a full-time, you know, job. The stuff that he's released is, you know, always done quite well.
Mm-hmm.
And he writes with really great people and uses great producers. So
another artist you're always writing there with and have had success with is Sandy Facey.
Yeah, yeah. She's actually originally from Michigan.
Is she?
She met her husband here in the US, down in Florida, who's an Aussie originally from Queensland. And and she relocated, you know, with the kids back to Australia, and she's been there, I think, for 20 years. We met in 2010, I think it was, or 2011. I worked for her doing a children's music program.
Really?
So we used to sing kids' songs together, and then she, you know, we did a duo together, a covers duo, and then she decided she wanted to start writing songs, and then we kind of connected on that level, and I've kind of been her Bernie Taupin, in a sense.
That's
great. We've had a great partnership with, you know, writing songs together. You know, it hasn't been like, oh, we write songs every week or anything.
One big success in January of this past year, right?
Yeah, yeah. The song about meeting her husband, Best One Yet. That took out the People's Choice Awards for at the Tamworth Country Music Festivals for Best Song.
Wow.
Which was really cool.
That's
so
great.
And that's when Sarah went back to Australia back in March, she got that.
Sarah, lovely wife.
Yeah, my lovely wife. Mm-hmm. She brought that back for me. So that was kind of cool that Sandy actually got two plaques, and Sarah caught up with Sandy and Sarah brought it home.
Isn't that great?
Which is really cool. So that's hanging on the wall, and that's a very, very proud achievement to be like, wow.
Yeah.
I guess when you write songs, you don't know if they're going to reach anyone or if they're going to do anything. You just write songs. I've been doing it since I was 16. I just still love doing it.
And you played in rock bands from the age of 16 in Australia, right?
Yeah. Been doing it a long time. And when I was getting my visa sorted, what they call an O-1 visa here, somebody with extraordinary ability. I had to lay out my career, and it was just really interesting looking at everything because I'd kept a whole bunch of newspaper articles from the 90s and 2000s of a lot of the achievements that I had, which was thankfully I did that.
He's very organized. Yeah.
And Sarah was like, that's why you hoard all that music stuff. I've still got lyrics that I wrote from when I was 16 in a huge box. I've got, you know, paper of lyrics from
that's awesome
from all over the years that
wow
I just can't let go of them.
Did you ever estimate like how many songs I couldn't begin to tell you. I have a friend Billy, he'll tell me exactly how many he's written over the years. How about you?
It's too many.
Yeah, it is,
you know,
too
from
many.
From 16 like that's awesome. To yeah. It yeah
yeah
it would be easily over 1,000.
Yeah.
Easy. Because just what since I've been keeping track of the Nashville thing, I've hit 500.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, of course, now you need to know that if you don't know Michael Cilletta, he is a hardworking songwriter. Thanks. You do 2-3 writes a day, and you're always out there writing.
Yeah, not as much as what I used to, because now that I'm here full time, there's a bit more strategy behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas back when I was in Australia, it was that thing that I just wanted to keep working
right around,
and really just to try and improve on the craft.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the more you write,
I agree,
that the more that helps you writing with lots of different people, writing with different styles of music.
Yeah.
So
you take a little bit from each one, each session. You do. You learn.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think you learn. If you're not learning from the people that you write with, then you're not.
I agree.
I don't know. I think you should always go in with an open mind and open heart.
I think so too.
Right.
Yeah. Like Kevin Griffin said on episode 100, your ego is not your amigo, right?
That's great.
I've
heard that one before. Yeah.
And I've also read that, you know, some people come to town, they've never co-written before.
Yeah.
And it's a co-writing town. But I've read that you've always been into collaboration. and believe in it strongly.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, my first band, the first song I ever wrote, it was on my own, and I still remember that song. And when I get my first number one in the US, and I get to do the Bluebird or the Listening Room after that, I'm gonna pull out my really bad first song I ever wrote. And it was called Satisfaction. It was just three chords, A, G, and D.
And the truth, right?
And yeah, absolutely. But I was 16, you know, that was all I knew. But, you know, then I started collaborating with the keyboard player and the drummer from that band that I put together. And it was just something that I really loved. And the next band I was in, I collaborated with those and then continued.
My next question, you had said something to me that I just thought was so brilliant, and I've repeated it on this podcast. You said that your network is your net worth.
Yeah.
Is it the other way around?
I did get that from someone.
Did you?
I can't remember who it was, but I do love that. Your network is your net worth. I mean, that's your value, and that's what you can bring to, especially if you are searching for a publishing deal. Mm-hmm. You know, the publisher wants to know that you're writing with some other really great people and great artists that have potential to become a future, you know, success.
Exactly.
So if you're bringing something like that to the table, your network, say, hey, I'm writing with this person, and I'm writing with this artist and all that kind of stuff. They're like, ooh, okay.
And you've written with some big ones that you've been in town. Kirstie Manor and...
I worked with Kirstie Manor J4.
J4 is another great artist up and coming.
I'm hoping that maybe by the time this podcast comes out, like, we'll know more about if he's releasing that song that we wrote that day. He seems very, very keen.
I've heard him play it out. It's a great song.
Yeah, it's a fun song. Mm-hmm. That was just a great energy that day. You know how you know, every room you walk into has a different kind of energy. And, you know, with his youth and his energy, he's a fantastic artist and has huge potential.
Musical genius, he really is.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I didn't realize he played piano quite that great.
He's a concert.
So I got on and did, you know, because whenever I see a piano, I love to jump on and just do Let It Be, because that's kind of that's my go-to song.
Oh, that's beautiful on the piano.
Yeah, then he gets on and he just, I don't know, it wasn't Tchaikovsky, but, you know, it was just something brilliant like that. And I'm like,
he loves Chopin. And so his real name is Joe. I always call him Jopin.
Oh, okay.
He's been on the podcast. If you go into the archives, you can find J4.
Uh-huh. Yeah, everybody go check out J4, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's a good guy. So I want to go back to Sandy Facey, because you got a song out there with her right now.
Yeah, it just dropped in radio in Australia. It comes out on the 28th in Australia, and then obviously here.
Yeah.
It's actually been a slow burn with this song. It was an idea that Sandy brought, I think it was 2 years ago. She had found old letters from her parents, love letters that they wrote to each other back in World War II. Her dad was stationed in San Antonio in Texas.
Okay.
And they would write love letters to each other. And, you know, as you know, back then, there was no Instagram, there was no texting, there was no emails even way back then. So that's how they communicated. And you know, Sandy was just really taken aback by the love letters that she found of her parents, you know, wrapped in that cotton string.
Isn't that something?
She read through them, and obviously it was quite an emotional time for her. And she said, look, I'd love to be able to write a song about this. And, you know, as you do, you know, you flesh out a whole bunch of different, you know, scenarios, and how do we land this? How do we make this something that people can relate to, that's going to make people feel something? So, you know, as we kind of occasionally got together, you know, we touched base about it. Oh, yep. And then finally we got it kind of wrapped up towards the end of last year.
Wow. So it wasn't one of those one session,
definitely
half hour
not.
We got it done.
Like her last single, that came together really, really quickly, and that was released before, you know, this, because it was just a feel-good song. It's like, that's perfect for summer in Australia.
Yeah.
So that's why that was released back in November, perfect time for Australia. And My Kind of Good Life, that was the number one for her back in Australia as well, back in December. So
that's awesome.
And it was that thing that even Best One Yet was more of a tempo song. And the one before that was kind of ballady. So she's come back around to, I want to release another ballad, and this is the one.
This is the one.
She felt that it was time for that song. And you know, as a professional songwriter, you know, we service the artist. You know, we're here to help them.
Absolutely.
With their voice to say something that means something to them. And and it's just, you know, it even gives me the tingles, you know, thinking about it, that she's finally getting to share, you know, her experience with those letters and the love story of her mom and dad.
Well, we got to hear it. We have to hear it.
Yeah. It's called Next Heartbeat. It's a beautiful song produced by Michael Carpenter. This was the first song that Sandy's done with Michael, and he's an award-winning producer back in Australia. And he works with a lot of different Australian artists. Great producer. So
awesome.
And I've forgotten the name of the guy that's playing lap steel, but yeah, he does a great job. And it's yeah, I think the melody and the music really suits the tone of the song and the love story that Sandy unfolded, you know, reading the letters.
I'm anxious to hear it. Let's play it. Here we go. Sandy Facey, song co-written by our guest today, Michael Saletta, on the Songwriter Connection podcast.
I found some letters after Daddy passed away. They were dated 1943. Wrapped in cotton string, faded and torn, took me back in time. Before I was born, I slowly opened one. This is what it said. You're a swell girl, my whole world, and I'll ride you every day. Texas heat, dirty barracks, push-ups on repeat, barely missing her in every word that he wrote. You're a swell girl, my whole world, and I'll ride you every day. Next heart.
That's Sandy Facey, and it's a great song. It's out there streaming everywhere right now, co-written by Michael Saleta, our guest on the Songwriter Connection podcast. Sometimes in a collaboration like that, you got magic, and you can a song just like seems to pour out. And then there are other songs with topics like this that you just have to grind it out, and you've got yeah. to, you know, you have to. Sometimes it just takes time to get it right and craft it right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And this was definitely one of those songs, and I know Sandy really wanted to get it right,
being special to her.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So she came to you with this idea. Did she have the hook there? The next heartbeat is me. Or is that something you did as you were going?
It was definitely something we did as we were going, because mm-hmm. it was like, you know, I think it might have been originally like something to do with love letters or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it was that thing of, it's that creative thing that you throw in. Or let's kind of make this interesting with how we're going to land that hook of like, mm-hmm. You know, so it's just not like, hey, love letters, and that's the name of the song, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and you know, when she felt lyrically that it was ready, and then, you know, melodically we were going back with certain ideas, and we hadn't done the bridge, mm-hmm. you know, and then, you know, because she usually kind of leans on me a lot with that melody stuff and the music, because, you know, she's still learning guitar and stuff. So I'll like throw down an idea and throw it at her, and she'll be like, yeah, I like that. And mm-hmm. then she'll take it and sing it. You know, the artist will sing it how they sing it, because we all have our inflections.
We do.
And we all sing things differently. And then, you know, she does it and puts it in the key that suits her voice and all that kind of stuff. So,
and I always tell artists that I write with, don't be afraid to make it your own. If you're going to make a little change here and there, you know, do it. It's got to be you.
Yeah. That has happened, I think, pretty much on every song that we've written together. You know, when she's mm-hmm. in the studio and you know, naturally when she's singing it the way she sings it, you know, she'll change the phrase a little bit, or she'll change the lyrics so it actually fits in how
exactly,
you know, so and you know, there was a couple little things on, you know, the finished product where I'm like, that's even better than what we, you know, what we kind of put down. So you know, because cool, because that's the great thing of when an artist is working with a producer in the studio, he's hearing things a little bit differently as well.
And, that's right.
And a great producer is going to push you a little further and say, hey, why don't you try it this way, you know, and then it's going to land. Oh, well, that's even better.
Everybody has, we've said it so many times in the past, the songs take on a life of their own. And every, whether it's the artist, the producer, whoever's doing this, they each have their own vision for the song. And that's when I go into a producer and I'll play him a work tape and I go, what do you want it to sound like? I'll be interested to know your vision of this song first. Okay. And I always, I want to hear their creative, because that's important. Creativity is an amazing thing. What is your vision of the song? Did it match your vision when you first heard it? Mm-hmm.
I actually think that the finished version that Sandy and Michael worked on was even better than what.
That's great when it comes out that way.
You know, because I did like a work tape kind of thing with a drum track and you know, it's that thing that I knew that she was going to be working with a producer, so I didn't. You know, I think if you kind of think a song's got to go one way and then an artist releases it and it's mm-hmm. completely different than what you wanted.
What you visit. Yeah.
I've stopped doing that since I've stopped doing the artist thing, you know, in the bands. Yeah. No, not really.
You separate yourself from it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Because mm-hmm. I even the other night I went and saw an Australian artist that's over here at the moment that I've been writing with, and I had a work tape of the finished song. It was mm-hmm. a song I wrote with Tracy Richardson and this artist.
I love her.
Young Australian artist mm-hmm. that comes from my hometown. Misty. And I got to hear she's already cut the song. She's already recorded an EP. And
that's great.
We only wrote it, I think, 4 weeks ago.
Wow.
So, which is super exciting. But she played at the Five Spot the other night, and I got to hear the song live with a band. And I'm like, wow. And she's got an
still
incredible
a thrill,
voice.
Isn't
so,
it?
So yeah. You know, I mean, that it feeling. Is. It's uh-huh. it's cool to, you know, work on a song in the writer's room and then just let it go.
Yeah.
And because at the end of the day, it's you know, it's the artist that's, you know, recording it, and whatever they envision, I completely, fully trust. And even my first Canadian cut, when Trevor and I finished that song, it was just a work tape, and then it went to, you know, he pitched it to the artist loved it, and they recorded it. And I was like, wow, this is a bit bit more rocky than what I thought it was going to be, but mm-hmm. I loved their version because, yeah. you know, I come from the rock background, so it was a bit more country rock, and I'm like, this is cool.
Yeah.
The artist James Downham did a fantastic version. I loved what they did with it. So it's like, wow, this is, I couldn't have produced it like that, you know? So-
Not only a multi-instrumentalist, and he writes a lot, but he's had hits in at least three different countries, right?
Well, yeah, the Canadian, that was a top 10.
excuse me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I haven't had a hit yet, but you know, well, working on it, right?
Yeah, you're working on it.
The five number ones in Australia, so I think...
Wow. Tasmania. Is that part of Australia, Tasmania?
It sure is. It's the part that broke off way back when.
Is it its own government country or is it no?
No. It falls under the same federal government, similar to states. You know, you have your own state.
Because you and I have been to the top of the charts there in Tasmania.
Yes.
What's it called? The OC?
Well, it's the Taz Oz CMR, which is a country music radio. So OZ.
OZ.
And I did a radio interview with them before I left to come here in November because I met him at an award show down in Tasmania.
Mm-hmm.
And he was super interested in my story and we got to chat and he played a bunch of demos and which was really, really cool because he's just like, I want to pump you up for the show. I want to share with people because he doesn't normally have songwriters on the show. It's more about artists.
Isn't that cool?
Which was super cool. So it was, it's still a big chart and it's well respected by, you know, the best of the best in Australia because awesome. they're even on that chart, the best, you know.
Best of the best.
Yeah. And even the airplay chart, you know, of the last song. Because, you know, even here we have a couple of different charts in Nashville that's like you've got the Billboard charts, you've got... that's the only one I can think of at the moment. But in Music Nashville, there's a bunch of different charts. They're all well respected. The airplay chart kind of that covers all the radio stations in Australia. You know, what song gets basically played the most.
I think he even knocked one of my songs out of the top five at one point, too. Yeah, you've had a lot of success there. You always tell people, I go, I had my first number one song. I always say I had my first number one country song, and then I go, yay, congrats! And I go, all right. So the country was Tasmania.
Well, it's considered Australia.
It's considered Australia.
And when I went down there, like I'd never been to Launceston, and it's a beautiful city. I was like, man. Now I'm living here in Nashville. I have no intention of going back to Australia, but it was like I really would have loved to have seen. That part of the country with Sarah, you know, like on a vacation, it would have been because I got to hang out with Sandy and I get to hang out with another Aussie artist, Lily Grace, and we did a little bit of touristy stuff, but it was a beautiful, beautiful small city. It was very colonial,
nice
kind of vibe. Yeah. Like old buildings, wow. And obviously, you know, the convicts from the UK way back when were sent. All the way down there.
You know, and Tasman's way down under, right?
Yeah, way down under.
Yeah,
so the Tasman
getting farther
sea
down your Antarctica.
Is,
yeah, right.
Well, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, yeah, you're looking at like a roughly an hour flight.
Wow.
From Melbourne to you know, Hobart or Launceston. So,
wow.
Or I'm not sure, even sure. You can go there via boat as well.
Can you? Okay.
But not driving. It's not safe. Unless you're James Bond with the underwater car.
Now, we played the last one. It was the production of the song. So around the dining room table, you brought your guitar. And we need to hear songs from you on this show that you've written. Why don't you play one and we're going to take it into the break. And then we come back.
Cool.
We're going to talk more about
story. This is definitely one of my favorites to play out. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't do it every time because I, you know, don't want to be doing the same song every single round.
Yeah, I know me either.
But I wrote this with Hayden Kane and John Frank back in 2021. So this is a three-year-old song just about. And it's had a little bit of success and we can probably talk about that after I do the performance.
Sure.
And, you know, the significance of why I love playing this song. This is called Raise a Riot.
Yeah, it's a great song.
All you need, Jump Creek, is a bike and a piece of plywood. The Milky Way is clear as day from your daddy's rusty trucker. But 328 makes a damn good first date.
The goal line in overtime's a great place to pray. I guess you learn a few things when your race right up a dirt road. You had tails and bird dogs don't mess up your church clothes on Sunday. Breathe right like that old flag when you take off your ball cap. Don't bless me, Jesus, the George Strait. That down the hall of blue around the collar light, you'll get your raise right. Don't raise your voice when you're talking to your mama. And don't say you'll be there for a friend if you ain't gonna. You give up your coat when your girl says it's cold. Stand up for what's right. Take a seat when you're wrong, cause you're right up a dirt road with white tails and bird dogs. Don't mess up your church clothes on Sunday. Breathe right like that old flag when you take off your ball cap. Don't blast me, Jesus, the George Strait. That down the hall of blue round the collar light, it'll get you raised like a two-ton on 28-inch tires. Like hands in the air in a Southern Baptist choir. Like crops in the barn to get you through the winter time. Like hell on a Saturday night. Raise right up a dirt road with white tails. Bird dogs don't mess up your church grows on Sunday. Raise right like that old flag when you take off your ball cap. Don't blast me, Jesus, the George Strait. That down the hall, blue round the collar light. Get your raise right. Then down the hall of blue around the collar light. It'll get your raise right.
Last time Michael Saletta was on the podcast, we couldn't do this because we zoomed it. He was in Australia.
Yeah, we zoomed.
And he's a great performer. You're a great performer. You've been, doing it for a long time. 16 years old in rock bands all around.
Yeah.
But that song right there, Raised Right, that's one of those NSCI Top 40 Bob Kingsley
songs. Yeah, that was
songs.
In that, as well as it made it to the top 10 of the NSAI CMT / Bluebird
Crazy.
Cafe song awesome. Contest.
Man.
So that was really, really cool.
Some feathers in your cap there.
Definitely some feathers in my cap, and that was definitely a proud moment. And, I've written over 65 songs with John, and that's
John Frank.
John Frank. Yeah. And he loves. I know he loves playing that song out, and I love playing it out. It just has that significance. And I think when the three of us come from completely different upbringings. You know, John coming from Florida, and Hayden from Kentucky, and me from Australia. And it was that thing of like, I think there's a lot of commonality within the song. It doesn't matter where you are from the world. You know, like. As long as, being raised right,
And I like how you twisted it, too. You're raised right up the road and then...
Raised right like twisting that old flag. Yeah.
Raising the flag. Yes. You were in that key of raised. Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah. It's just a really great song to play out. And, the demo that we have is a bit more rocky than the demo I like to... Than the version I like to do is a bit more chill and that song I actually used for an audition for the Bluebird earlier on this year, gave me the tick of approval. So I'll be playing the Bluebird in July, late
that's
July.
Awesome.
So
that's awesome.
My
that's
first writer's night. Yeah,
that's a great accomplishment.
That song, it's that thing of you want to be able to sing a song at an audition like that you just absolutely love and you feel. you know, you feel that connection with, and that's just one of those songs. So
absolutely is. Lots of great imagery in it, too.
Yeah,
we'll take a break, but more with Michael Saletta coming up. Don't go away.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to The Songwriter Connection with Dave Linehan. Find us on Facebook and YouTube at The Songwriter Connection Podcast. And find Dave at thedaveconnection.com. Now back to the show with your host, Dave Linehan.
You know, for a little while, I worked at the Ryman Auditorium, the mother church of country music. As you know, I was a country DJ for a lot of years. And when I retired, I just couldn't slam the door and stop. So I thought, what a cool job to be a tour guide at the mother church. Because I'm into history and I could tell my stories and meet a lot of new people. And one of the coolest things, other than a tour guide, I used to run the Make a Record booth. And we'd invite people in and they could make a record there at the Ryman. And we had a bunch of songs in a book and you could choose the song you wanted. And the tracks were already produced. You just sang over top of them. Most of the tracks were done by the Grand Ole Opry Band, which is so cool. But we also had a couple of guitars hanging on the walls. So in case, you know, you wanted to do your own song, you could. And in downtimes, I'd pick up one of those guitars and I'd be playing, you know, and practicing my craft and becoming a better guitar player. But one day, it was a Saturday, this lovely lady comes in, Sarah from Australia, with her husband, Michael. And they're going to make a record. And Michael goes, I don't want to do any of this. Can I take out one of those guitars and play one of my own? I go, well, sure, you're a songwriter. He goes, yeah. And so anyway, he does, and he blows me away. And we've been friends ever since. And,
absolutely, yeah.
And writing, and it's good to have you on the show,
Mike. Yeah, thank you for inviting me back, you know, because a little bit's happened since, obviously, yes. 2021.
A lot. And, you know, it's like the Grateful Dead said, what a long, strange trip it's been. Because you've been trying to get here since then, haven't you? And she got here first, right?
So Sarah arrived January the 1st, 2021.
Wow.
And you went shopping for us for a car. So Sarah had a car for when she arrived, which was, thank you so much. Because for those listening, Dave used to do car salesman way back when. So,
back when? Between radio jobs.
So I was just coming back and forth on the visitor visa, which got cancelled, you know, on my trip last year in April. And I was like, oh, what are we going to do? Because my spousal visa, there wasn't a visa available for me. So it was like, are we going to have to live apart for the next year, 2 years? It was that unknown.
Oh, stressful.
I mean, it was super challenging to be back in Australia, not knowing which way things were going to go.
Yeah.
It was just that thing of like, you know, to rewind back to when Sarah came, you know, she quit her job, I quit my job.
It was
that thing of like, you know, the all of nothing, no plan B, you know, because, you know, we had bought the car, you know, signed the contract for the rental, you know, where we used to be on music, you know, near Music Row. And it was like, you know, when we found out the immigration ban got extended, it was like, oh, crap, we've gotten rid of everything in our life here in Australia, apart from, obviously, my guitars and my music equipment. But we'd sold furniture, we'd given away stuff, and obviously thrown out some stuff, as you do, you know.
Yeah.
And it was like, we've upheaved our lives. There is no other option, but, you know, it's gonna happen, you know. you know, whether or not you believe in the universe or whatever, or manifesting. And then when the option come up of applying for the O1, originally the lawyer was a little bit reluctant until I kind of laid out my career. And then he's like, oh, okay, I think we got something. And you've got 8 categories in the O1 visa, and you only have to reach 3 to be classified as extraordinary ability. And we hit 4, which was really, really great. Just awesome. Just from all the things, you know, that I guess most people, you know, I don't go into a writer's room saying, hey, look what I've done, you know, because, you know, everybody's, you know, an equal writer in the room.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just means that the things that I've done are tools that I can bring into the room, you know, from the experience, you know, as a guitar player and as a songwriter and a singer to some degree. But it's been really, really challenging, you know, because during that time, you know, Sarah's grandmother passed away, and, you know, she never got to say goodbye to her. And the short time that I had back with my dad in December of 2021, I was back with him for a couple of weeks and he passed away. Which was really, really hard because we were reconnecting with Sarah moving over here. I stayed with dad, and it was just a really nice time to spend with him. And after he passed away, you know, people telling me how proud he was and talking about me doing all the Nashville things.
Exactly. Do you know?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. All of that stuff has been.
You've had so much, so many blessings. And, you know, reading your bios and more about you, and I've like known you for a while, but, you know, sometimes you see things and you go, yeah, you know, that makes sense. That you had, your parents were very supportive of your music career.
Man.
And
yeah.
Not every parent is, you know. What's your backup plan? Wait, you know, you got, but your folks, like mine, really supported everything you've done. And now your wife, the same.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That is an extreme blessing. My mom, you know, she had 4 brothers. Like, she was one of 11, 4 brothers that were musicians. So it was, you know, it was in the blood, and it was inevitable that I was probably become a musician.
You knew at a young age, right?
Well, no. Not really. I did Aussie rules football. I played cricket. I played basketball. I did the usual things that a kid does.
Yeah,
to figure out whether you actually are going to be any good at something like that. You know, a lot of people go on to be successful as a sportsman.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was around about the age of 12 that I started learning guitar. And, you know, that made my mum very happy. And Country Roads was one of the first songs I learned. Shutters and Boards by Charlie Pride. My mum loved Charlie Pride. Like, I've got my parents' record collection now. And it's just like, wow, they had a bunch of country music, you know, plus rock and roll, you know, that was
country and rock and roll.
Yeah, all that stuff. So, you know, when I finished high school, when I eventually finished high school, I was in a band by the name of Innocent, was the band name.
And were you?
And our so-called record label was called Guilty as Hell Records, right? which was kind of funny.
It is funny.
On the cassette tape that we had, Innocent, Born with Sin was the name of the album. But when I finished high school, you know, I did cooking subjects.
You are a great cook.
I love cooking. And, you know, I could have had the opportunity to become an apprentice chef when I finished high school.
Wow.
Which is like, you know, first year chef, second year, third year, fourth year. And while you're working in the restaurant, you're also studying at school.
Yeah.
And I made the decision with that band. We all made the decision to move to Melbourne, you know, from our country town.
About 3-hour west.
Yeah. To be rock stars. We kind of were for a moment. That band had some really great success locally. We played with some big Australian bands, which was really, really great. And we did really well. My parents were like, never ever you have to become a chef. No, that's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
I wish mum was alive to have seen me, you know, to obviously achieve the things that I've achieved, especially over the last few years. I mean, dad got to see a little bit of it, but, you know, mum passed away when I was around about 22. So
really?
In 1995. Don't do the math, please, people.
Please don't.
That's how young I am. I couldn't have done this without them believing in me back then. And one thing that I always remember fondly when my parents would travel that 3 hours to come and see me play at a crappy club in Melbourne. Mm-hmm. And my mom would always say, get up there and kick ass, son.
I love
it. Even if there was five people in the crowd, like, she just loved it. She just loved it. And yeah, and you know, Sarah kind of flies that support flag for me now.
That's awesome. Sorry, Archer. She's just wonderful. I know you're choking up. Yeah, but she is. She's one, you guys are amazing together.
Yeah,
amazing.
Like, yeah, she's an extraordinary woman.
You know, and I'll tell you, side point, I love how you prioritize things. Recently, we wrote together, and I had a gig come available on a Sunday night, and I asked you to join, and you said, "No, that's my night with Sarah," and it just it made my heart feel so good. You know,
I mean, yeah, we try and keep the weekends together because she, you know, she's incredibly busy during the week with her corporate job,
and very good at it. Too.
She's a boss at that. She's like a number one songwriter. She's like Ashley Gawley in the cybersecurity field. Seriously. That? Like, awesome. You know, she got us a Barbados this year. She went to Peru last year because she was the number one earner for her company. She's an extraordinary ability in her field, that's for sure.
So I think that worked out pretty well. The whole, you know, picking up move, you know,
A plan B. And Sarah's been all about adventure since we've been together. And you know, life is an adventure. I mean, you know, we just kind of got that itch and it's like, yeah, well, let's definitely do this. And mm-hmm. you know, I guess we can't really say it's gone better than expected or worse than expected. We're just, now that I'm finally here, we can make plans for the rest of our life, which is great because the last three or so years has been
rough.
How do we figure this out? And, you know, I would keep going into a thing, what we call puzzle mode, where, you know, I would just get so frustrated with not knowing where things were going to go. And when I was putting together the O1, the meticulousness of me putting together PDFs of like the song Best One Yet and all the accolades that we'd get were in a PDF, and every radio station that went to was all in a PDF.
Wow.
Like everything. So then that was presented to the...
Incredible.
And that's what I call puzzle mode, because if I sit and do a puzzle, I will sit and do it for a very long time and shut out the world.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah,
it's the nerdiness of when I was young. When I was bullied in high school, I went to an all boys Catholic high school and I got bullied really bad. And
really,
and
I can't imagine.
I would go and hang out with the nerds playing chess.
Oh no way!
So that was and then until
then, when you became a rock star, everything changed, right?
When I, because I'd stopped playing guitar for a little while because of the bullying, and I failed year 10 for the first time, what you'd call 10th grade here.
Mm-hmm.
So those bullies went to a different campus.
Yep.
And Mark Velko, great keyboard player back then, his mum owned a music store, and he came up to, you know, he was in 10th grade for that new year that I repeated.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I started the band Phoenix Rose. That changed my life. Music saved my life.
Music has changed your life.
And you know, failing saved my life, really. Like,
you can't be afraid to fail, right?
Absolutely. No. And at the time, when you're a teenager, it's like the end of the world.
Yeah.
Right?
I know.
Yep. Then knowing that, oh my God, I wouldn't have this band.
Yeah.
This wouldn't have become what it became when I was young.
Like, it seems like my mom always used to say, you know, it all happens for a reason, and you look back at
it. You can look back at the age we're at and go, I'm glad that happened. As much as it sucked when I was a kid and it was horrible, and, you know, just, that's all stayed with me for a long time until you start, I think when you're older, you start processing and viewing life differently.
Yes,
like,
you do. Yeah.
That was actually a blessing that I was beaten down like that, you know, and that I, you know, I couldn't do school, and I failed, and then I tried again, and it was.
But you can do music, and let me just add, I want to hear another song, but I want to go back to all the hardships and things you say you've been through, especially recently. How did that affect your writing?
In terms of dad passing away,
whole getting to the United States, wife here, you're not.
Was
writing a good way to cope? I guess.
Yeah. It absolutely was. It was, you know, I was getting up at 5:30 in the morning, you know, to get ready to write. You know, I'd meditate, I'd go for a morning walk, have breakfast. So then at 8 a.m. when I was starting,
Yeah, you'd be Zoom writing like with us, and it'd be an afternoon for us, and you're early in the morning.
So it was, that was what I had to look forward to. And obviously speaking to Sarah every day, and we'd have date nights where we'd be watching a movie together, you know. And we played like games together on Facebook, like on Messenger. You can play like little golf games and stuff. So it was just like, how do we become creative on date? Like, what does date night look like? And it just became challenging. And then I'd get fixated on the O1 visa, and that's all I would talk about because I really wanted it to happen. And it was really, really challenging. But songwriting and seeing the people that I wrote songs with, you know, really got me through, because it was like, well, I'm looking forward to writing with Billy and Dave today, you know, or you know, any number of those people that I write with. We've written
some good songs over the years,
and a lot too.
Yeah. You know, do you have a song that you could share that talks about?
I have not written about it. None of those challenges. Uh-huh. I just don't think my brain's ready to do it yet.
Gotcha. You know? No, I understand. That's all I do. But how about something else for us? A story behind the song.
I would. I mean, there's not an incredible story behind this, but I kind of feel I want to bring some lightheartedness, because I played this song down in Key West. I just did Key West in May, and
that's right. I wanted to mention that.
Yeah. And
Key West Song Festival is great.
Yeah, and this was kind of a highlight. And whenever I play it out, and whenever my co-writers play it out, it always gets a great reaction. So I kind of wanted to do a fun song. So obviously we've done the, you know, Next Part beat. And we've, you know, I've done Raised Right, and this is more of a kind of a fun song. I wrote this with Leslie Bowe and Michael Ruger, and we've been writing together. Yeah, great guys.
We just did a round not writers. Too long ago together.
And Michael brought this idea, and as you know, you you get into the Zoom or the room, and it's like, hey, what ideas have we got? And, you know, you throw out a title and something kind of sticks with everyone. You're like, oh, I think I like that. Let's have a stab at that. And Michael's like, there's a sign as you're walking down De Montbrien that says tacos and tequila. And so we wrote that down. And he goes, I don't know what it even means, you know, but it's kind of cool. I need the alliteration of tacos and tequila. Uh-huh. And so we're like, oh, yeah. And we ended up writing a breakup song about tacos and tequila.
I gotta hear this. Michael Saletta here on the Songwriter Connection.
Try to catch a cab in Espanol, but couldn't tell the driver where to go, cause the only Spanish that I know is si, and ya no hablo. So flip-flop, a block or two, to a cantina with an ocean view. The only thing I wanted to do is forget her saying I'm leaving you. So I asked a bartender to help me, please. He said, si, senor, what do you need? I said, give me some tacos and tequila.
Yeah.
Till I can't feel her tearing me up on the inside out. Clip pouring my heart out on the ground. I had a little soul tan line. I clear my mind one shot at a time. I'll be fine, just need some Cabo Senoritas. Tacos and tequila, hey! Margarita pulled me up to dance. Says she's never seen a gringo look so sad. Six drinks in, barefoot in the sand, swaying with the mariachi band.
Yeah.
Something about Latin moves had me thinking about my next move. Got me thinking about my ex now too. I gotta kick these missing her blues. I need tacos and tequila until I can't feel it tearing me up from the inside out. We borrow my heart out on the ground. Add a little salt and lime. Clear my mind one shot at a time. I'll be fine. Just need some Cabo Senoritas. Tacos and tequila. Hey! Tacos and tequila.
All right, Dave.
Dave, let's talk about this for a minute. Let's talk about drinking on vacay. Let's talk about eating that pain away.
Love it.
Let's talk about never ever going home. Staying way south and staying gone. Tacos and tequila. Till I can't feel her tearing me from the inside out. We pour my heart out on the ground. Add a little soda and lime. I clear my mind one shot at a time. I'll be fine, just need some Cabo Senoritas. Come on! Tacos and tequila. Hey! Tacos and tequila. And tequila.
Boy, hey! That is awesome. Kenny Chesney, are you listening? Kenny's people, are you listening? That's a great song.
It's just a fun song.
Yeah, really
good. You know, a fun breakup song.
Lee Riscone, a senior who runs Writers Rounds here over 30 years, has he heard that song? It's his favorite. He always says tacos and chilies, friend.
Oh, really?
He would love that song.
So I'm playing there next Thursday with Tracy Richardson.
Well, you got to play that
song. I'll
send it out to him.
Okay.
He always says, tacos and chili, children.
That's funny.
Love that.
All right, cool.
And let's talk about it. That's clever. You know?
Well, I'm all about dad jokes all the time when I'm in riots. And
I love dad jokes.
And I said to, I mean, whenever Michael and Les, you know, whenever they do it in a round, or the three of us might be in a round together, like, they always give me credit because I was like, hey, let's do a dad joke in this bridge. Let's talk about it. You know, because you got.
I love it.
I want a piece of me, you know, like the pizza thing. You can do pizza that kind meat. Of thing, you know. Yeah. Let's talk about it. And they're like, oh, I love that idea. So
clever.
They ran with it as you know, as immature as that is.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, it's a fun part about it. And we, you know, when I did it down in Key West, so I slowed it down. They
yeah.
loved it.
I'll bet.
And the well, the demo doesn't quite do that slowdown breakdown for that.
No.
But you know how that works with a demo. You know, it's just to kind of represent the song. But right. Yeah, we definitely emphasize the good time, you know, all that kind of stuff when we do it live. That's not in the demo either.
Absolutely.
It's just a fun song.
Really
and
is. I bet you had a blast writing it. You guys,
we did have laughs. A really really good time. A lot of laughing in that It's really interesting, and you probably find it as a songwriter, you know, considering, you know, you've written a lot of stuff as well. It's like, how do we write a song about tacos and tequila that is going to make people feel something, whether it makes them laugh mm-hmm. or it's something they can relate to? How do I get over somebody? And I think that's one of the great things about writing.
I do too.
You know, each and every week, it's like, how do we write a tacos and tequila. I mean,
that's
it could be written a ton of different ways.
And I love doing it, throwing out a title or an idea.
Yeah.
How do we write this? And, you know, everybody starts throwing in, and the next thing you know, you got a tacos
and
tequila.
I think that's definitely one of the best ways of doing it is just kind of going from that title because
absolutely.
I think if, you know, thinking back to, you know, my band days, you know, you'd go in with a half-finished song or mm-hmm. just about finished song, and then you'd, hey, what do you think of this, you know, this idea that I have, this song that I have, and... you know, they're just kind of helping you finish a song.
Mm-hmm. I've done it that
and
way
so you're
too.
More invested in that
yeah.
as a songwriter. Uh-huh. Whereas I love the whole thing of like, this is just a title, not sure what it means yet. Like, you know, when Michael came in that day,
but it sounds interesting, guys.
And
so
it's like,
yeah,
there's something about
yeah.
the alliteration of tacos and tequila, and it's something everybody can relate to.
It's
I mean,
awesome.
You know, people enjoy drinking tequila and people love tacos.
That's right.
And when you're way down south, you know, trying to get over a girl, what a great way to get over a girl. Just
exactly right. Michael, where do we find you? You're on all the socials, right?
And you've got a link tree. Instagram. Linktree has, I mean, if you click onto, Instagram, it's got the little bio thing where you can click onto the Linktree, which has, you know, articles, you know, links to the previous podcast, other podcasts I've been on, some of the accolades over the years, and then links to the artists I've, you know,
That's
had
so
songs
great.
With.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually, I think, created by some Aussie guys, Linktree. And it's a great platform.
I got to make me one of those.
It's really cool. You know, you do that, have your artistry stuff, the podcast stuff, anything else that's going on. It's
pretty cool.
It's such a great platform.
There's a tip for your songwriters right there to help get your stuff out there.
Yeah.
Michael, thank you. I mean, in just a short amount of time, you've done so many great things. And I mean... I multiply that by the next 5-6 years, and there's no...
I'm looking forward to what's ahead in the next 5 years.
I'm telling you, it's an exciting journey, isn't it?
And yeah, I couldn't have done this without Sarah by my side, and you know, that's a guarantee. And even the belief in my you know, we talked about my parents, that their belief in me, like, wouldn't give me the ability to actually believe in myself. Mm-hmm. You know, because as creatives, that's one of the hardest things we have to deal with every
really
day.
It really is, because we're so self-critical, you know.
It's like, is this good enough? Am I good enough? You know, but, you know, when you do have a reflective moment, like when I was doing the 01, to be like, oh, I've had some cool things happen.
You certainly have.
And to be able to talk about it. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks for taking the time. I know you have a busy writing schedule, so I appreciate you coming here being on the show and sharing songs around the dining room table.
That's been fun.
You're the man. Say hello to Sarah. Give her a big hug for me.
We hope you enjoyed this intimate glimpse into the world of songwriting and found inspiration in the stories shared by our talented guests. Remember, the magic of music lies not only in the notes and chords, but in the emotions and experiences woven into every lyric. Until next time, keep listening, keep creating, and keep the melodies alive.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.